Hey friends, today I want to talk about gratitude. Very appropriate this Thanksgiving week. I want to share a Thanksgiving practice that I implement, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, that'll absolutely change your life, and it's super simple. I want to share a prayer of gratitude that I learned while I was in Colby, Kansas, giving a reboot recently. 1,300 people came out. I love the Midwest, dude. Last stronghold of Western civilization. And by the way, while I was there, shout out to my friend who let me sign his prosthetic leg. There's a big line of people waiting for me to sign books and stuff, and this kid's like, hey, would you sign my leg? A little bit shocking, and then he kicked me in the face with it. I'm gonna interview him someday, dude. I love people who don't take themselves too seriously. I wanna share also today, with a lot of gratitude, some great plans that we have in store for 2025 that we will accomplish with your help. And to answer a couple questions I've gotten from YouTube, all that and more today on The Chris Stefanik Show. First, my friends, let's talk about Thanksgiving. Here's a day devoted to gratitude, and I want to be very specific. It's gratitude to God. Some people treat this day like it's purely secular, but in its origins, this day is actually really holy. The pilgrims who came on the Mayflower went through a brutal journey. Lots of people died on the way. There was scurvy on the ship, and people don't worry about scurvy too much anymore because we know now it could be solved by having an orange. But they died gruesome deaths for lack of vitamin C. People lived through a harsh, difficult winter. Then the harvest came and they gathered with their Native American friends and they didn't just have a celebration. They set aside multiple days to feast and to thank God. And part of their thanking God was enjoying the blessings he gave them. Isn't that cool? Look, when my kids enjoy the blessings I give them, that's a way of expressing gratitude to me as their dad. But this was picked up as a tradition at George Washington. He actually recommended to Congress that there be a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. How cool is that? Some people have a misunderstanding of the separation of church and state to mean that no public official should ever talk about God. That's obviously not what our founding fathers thought. Abraham Lincoln, fast forward to him, he declared this as a national holiday. And check this out, talk about people not separating God from the public space. He called his, quote, fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. How cool. Guys, Thanksgiving at its origin was to be a day of praise to God, the ultimate source of all of our blessings. This is something that we rush through life and we don't pause. We don't pause to acknowledge that all the blessings we're enjoying are the result of people blessing us and God blessing us through people. And sometimes it's a great tragedy of life. We don't really stop and think of the blessings around us, especially the blessings that come to us in the form of our friends and family, until it's our last day on earth. You know, my parents are friends with this beautiful Polish family, good Catholic family, had 9 kids, and the husband, the father of this family, was tragically diagnosed with a deadly form of cancer. He ended up dying way too young. And my mom painted an icon for this family of another Polish family, a Polish family that had hid Jews from the Nazis, and they were martyred, and they were declared saints by Pope Francis, including the baby that was in the womb. So she painted this icon for this family, and the night before he died, they laid that icon on his chest, and he was just laid out. He was unconscious, and the moment that touched him, his eyes opened. He was filled with energy. He sat up, and he was just cognizant. He was present to everybody around him, and you know what he did? He went and sat with each member of his family, told them how much he loved them, and told them how grateful he was for them. And he sat down with his wife, and he just expressed all his gratitude for the blessing that she always was in his life. Guys, how tragic that so many of us go through life and don't even stop to pause and think, like, whoa, we just take this stuff for granted. Like, the blessing of my kids, the blessing of my wife who puts up with me, all the blessings of God. It's like we're sitting on super lotto tickets. We don't cash in. You cash it in by saying thank you and letting those blessings flood your heart and building those relationships up by expressing that you're not taking that person for granted. Lord, help us to always live with that spirit of gratitude. But wait, why? Why did did the founding fathers talk about thanking God? Why do the people who survived the Mayflower and then had a harvest, why did they stop to thank God? Shouldn't they have just set this day aside as a regular secular day of thanks for, I don't know, I'm grateful for the stuff that my own hands did? I'm glad you asked that question. By the way, this is a phenomenal quote from Scripture. They're all phenomenal. Thank you, Lord. This is from Isaiah. O Lord, it is you who have accomplished all that we have done. Now, we have these postmodern minds that make a sharp distinction between secular everyday life and holy stuff. And we perceive our blessings that are directly from God as maybe his overt acts in history, like the miracles that he wrought. But the things that we wrought through our own hands, the good things that we've done, well, maybe that's a different category than things we should thank God for. As if God is just another player on the stage of creation vying for our attention. We're getting it all wrong. This is a new way of seeing human history and life on this earth. Throughout most of history, people have seen every blessing as having its ultimate source in God. Another way of saying this is that God is the primary source, the first cause of every blessing you have, and that he works through secondary causes. So, you can enjoy a harvest, right? But guys, who created existence in this world wherein we have things to harvest? God. So yeah, you should be grateful that people worked on the harvest, but you should also be grateful, logically, for the source, the ultimate source of all that is. Sure, it's the work of your hands that brought that fruit from the earth and gave you this great feast. But guys, who thought up the human hand? Who gifted you with intellect to figure out how to harvest things? Thomas Aquinas talked about one of the proofs of God's existence, one of the demonstrations of God's existence, is that he is existence itself. So he's the only being that it's part of his nature to exist. Think about that. That's kind of wild. Whoa. All right. Like the sun has in its nature light and heat that come out of it, right? Now, I don't have light and heat coming from within me. But if I stand in the presence of the sun, I'm lit up and I get warm because there is something else outside of me that has light and heat as part of its nature. God is the only being that existence is part of his nature. I'm not one of those beings. If I was, I would always exist because it would be in my nature to exist. So he's the uncaused cause, the unmoved mover, the uncreated creator. It's in his nature to exist. The reason that I exist is that, like the sun shining light on me and giving me light, he shines his existence, he shares that gift of existing with all things that are. So if you want to talk about the primary cause of all blessings, he's not only the cause at the beginning that then set the universe in motion, he's holding all things in existence at every nanosecond. If he stopped thinking about you, poof, you would stop existing. So when it comes to, hey, let's look for a source to thank for the blessings of life, sure, give thanks for all the secondary causes of all your blessings. But like the founding fathers got right, we need to look to the ultimate cause and make sure that we thank him. This is, again, something that we're delusional about. We forget to do this. And a lot of people have asked me, Chris, can't I just be a generally good person and not be, not really care about the God thing, not be religious? My honest and maybe kind of challenging and painful answer to that question is no, you can't. What? Why not? All right, here's why, guys. And this is also why pretty much every culture throughout history has not only been vaguely spiritual, but also overtly religious. Meaning, you can go to every culture throughout history and find outward expressions of interior spiritual beliefs. That they didn't just believe in God or some creator or source to everything. They said, I want to know what the source is and do things that are tangible to express gratitude for the source of getting to exist. Gratitude for the source of every blessing in my life. So you go to different cultures throughout history. You don't just find temples. You find altars in those temples where they offered sacrifice and thanksgiving back to God. St. Thomas Aquinas talked about how religiosity is a subset virtue under justice. Justice is that gut sense you have that you should return what is due to someone or something, all right? Everybody, you have this natural sense of justice from the time you're a little kid. You know if something's not fair when you're 2 years old, right? And you know that someone's doing something wrong if they don't do what's, quote, fair. This is why religion comes from natural law, not just divine law, not just the law written on the Bible, but the law written on the heart. See, people throughout history have thought, I didn't earn getting to exist. I didn't earn by myself all the blessings in my life. I have to look for the source. I have to do something to express gratitude to the source. Guys, insofar as you fail at that, you might be good in other areas of your life, but if you fail at that, you are a profound moral failure in the highest sense of the word. You'd be like a kid coming out on Christmas morning, seeing a million presents under his tree, and it doesn't even occur to that kid to look up and say, hey, where did this come from? Maybe I should thank my parents or Santa or be kind of excited about the source of all this. You're just kind of digging into all the gifts and not thinking about it. But this is how we live, man. We live forgetting that all the blessings have an ultimate source, and we become spiritual ingrates. You know who doesn't suffer from this? Back to where I started. Colby, Kansas. Guys, I'd never met an atheist who's a farmer. And part of the reason is that they know their dependence on something bigger than them to provide for all their basic needs. So after this talk I gave in Colby, Kansas, again, 1,300 people came out. We're talking about one of the last strongholds of Western civilization. Tons of bright-eyed young people were there. It blew my mind. It was so cool. I went to Mass the next morning, and everybody knelt after Mass, and they had this beautiful prayer that they memorized that I asked the pastor to share with me. I'm going to read it to you right now. Because farmers, one of the reasons they're not atheists, dude, they know their dependence on basic things like rain and God to send the rain so that we have a harvest. Here's the prayer. Blessed Saint Joseph, God chose you to be the husband of the Virgin Mary and the foster father of Jesus. You cared for the Son of God as your own son and taught him a trade. Because you were so close to him, he will not refuse anything you ask. Intercede for us in our great need. Pray for the blessing of rain. We are grateful for the moisture we have received, but the land needs more. Ask God to water our fields and gardens, to fill the rivers, streams, and lakes, and to bless our crops and livestock. Help us to live close to Jesus and Mary as you did, strong in faith and good works, caring for one another. Amen. Guys, farmers don't live with the delusion that so many of us do of self-reliance. That, hey man, we got this. No, you don't. You are dependent on so many forces outside of you and ultimately on God for your very existence at every second. But also just for your next meal. Well, why? Why? I mean, I earned that meal. It's just like I earned this cup of coffee, right? Think about this for just a second, guys. There's probably 300 people who contributed to me being able to have this cup of coffee right now. There's a farm somewhere in Costa Rica. That farm has an HR department, has a guy who owns the farm. It has people tilling the land. It has dozens of workers on the land harvesting coffee beans. It has a roaster it's sent to. Oh, don't forget, there's an entire other company with truck drivers to bring the beans to the roaster. Then it's transported to the United States. Then there's people to consider who contributed to the fuel of the vehicles that brought the coffee beans to the United States. Then there's my local coffee shop, and there's a barista behind the counter. Hundreds of people later, I'm sipping a cup of coffee, and I can live with the delusion that, hey, I earned this cup of coffee. I did that. Me earning it is just a small part of the equation. Guys, we rely on so much other than ourselves to do literally everything. And when you think about it that way, you're as helpless as an infant in so many ways. We should come to the only rational response to all this. The only rational response to getting to exist is to live in a constant state of gratitude. Failing to give thanks to God and to other people is the most unnatural thing ever. Frankly, failing to pray, thank you, Lord. Maybe you're not sold in the Christian thing. Whoever you are, thank you. Failing to do that, guys, it's not just unholy. It's not human. It's an unnatural way to live. So how do you develop gratitude? Because it's so dang easy to go through life forgetting. I'm going to give you a tip right now. You ready? Every day I wake up, here's something I do. I wake up and the first fruit of my mind, the first fruits of my thought are to give thanks. And there's lots of other things that crowd my mind immediately because, like you, I'm fast-paced and I have a lot of things to do, and my mind is hardwired to keep me alive because my brain, just like my spleen, didn't evolve to make me happy. It evolved to keep me alive, right? So I wake up, and the first things I think of, I got to check the email. Did something come in at 6 in the morning that has to be answered by 6:05? I got to check the news. Do I have to deal with some international affair? Dude, relax. You probably don't. I got to check the to-do list. What do I have to get ready for? No, the first thing I got to do is thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the coffee I'm about to drink. Thank you for the people who will sanctify my soul today. Thank you for the trials and struggles that you will bring me through to make me holy. Thank you. And when I start my day that way, when I do, I hit the ground ready to bless people around me instead of a ball of stress. Guys, take ownership of your thoughts, and I'm challenging you to hit the ground running that way. Ready to bless people because you've contemplated how you've been blessed and you've returned thanks for all that. I love that the central image of Christianity, of Catholicism, is the Eucharist. Eucharist literally means thanks. And I love the psalm, what return shall I make to the Lord for all the good he's done for me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord. Receive it and say, thank you, Lord. Now, the days that my mind won't stop racing, and you can tell by the speed at which I talk. You think it's fast, dude. I think twice as fast as when I'm talking right now, okay? The days where it's really hard for me, I make sure I give extra time for thanks. Oh, but Chris, I don't have time for that. You know, maybe you're thinking that, but I want to hit you between the eyes right now. What you don't have time for is the jerk version of you to take over your day. You guys meet the happy Chris. I work really hard to bring this to people to bless you. A guy who's energized, a guy who smiles a lot. I work really hard to bring it to my family as a husband and father and grandpa. You think it comes naturally? Dude, it's a lot of work. And when my brain is assailed by negative thinking and I forget all the blessings I have to give thanks for, I don't just give in to that thinking. I mean, it's one of the stupidest things that people do is go through life thinking, well, I'm not feeling good, so I'm going to hold myself in a posture that's not feeling good. I'm going to keep giving into negative thoughts, and I'm going to start complaining to my friends, and then I'm going to reinforce how I don't want to feel. Dude, how about you act the opposite of what you don't want to feel? Hold yourself up and focus on what you're grateful for and give thanks, especially when you don't want to, especially when you're overly stressed. And those mornings where I just can't kick it. You know, I might sit down, I got my Jesus prayer beads, 100 beads right here. I take my rosary out, 50 beads, whatever it is. And I'll just go through each one and just think of something new I'm grateful for. And maybe that'll take 20 minutes. And maybe again, you're thinking, you don't have time for that, Chris. Dude, I don't have time to be a jerk today. So there's your very simple tip for not just giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day, but becoming a more grateful person every day. Can I hear an amen to this? And I also want to add to that, pick one person every day to give thanks for something you might be taking this person for granted. You know, think about my parents' Polish friend who died and spent those last hours just giving thanks. Who do you need to thank? Pretend you're dying tomorrow. Maybe sit down and look that person in the eye, look that spouse in the eye, that dear friend in the eye, and say, hey, thank you. Thanks for being there through my life. All right. Before we jump into questions, some of them nasty and kind of fun, I want to ask you to give me just maybe 5 minutes of your time to talk about the mission of Real Life Catholic, because Giving Tuesday is right around the corner, and I want to talk about this with a spirit of profound gratitude, but also to ask you for your support. Guys, I think our mission is so important. I mean, there are lots of things out there that do the great work of forming people who are already kind of in the door, or maybe meeting people who have kind of an academic bent. So they're already in the door insofar as they're saying, hey, if you show me the truth, I'm going to follow it. But there's not a lot of ministries targeting people who are kind of on the fence and thinking, yeah, maybe I go to church on Sunday, but I don't really know why I'm here because I don't think this is relevant for my life. Guys, that's what we give our life to. While we hope we inspire you, if you're really devout, the target audience is right past you, and we're creating stuff that's uniquely shareable with those people. All right, and this is such a dang important mission, and we accomplish it in three ways. One's our live events. Praise the Lord, I spoke to 97,000 people last year live at our events. We have our reboot events, which have reached 200,000 people. We're going to parishes and we're training up outreach teams to empower them to invite their whole neighborhood back to God. I told you I was in Colby, Kansas last week and 1,300 people came. This is a typical experience for us, that we get 500 to 1,000 people, not coming to a Catholic Comic-Con from 500 miles away, but from within the boundaries of a specific town. Why? Because they all know me? No, because their friends invited them. So we're causing renewal on a grassroots level and inviting people to Jesus Christ. Average, everyday, ordinary people like you, like me. That's the target. So we got our live events. We have our media. Guys, this past year, thank you for your support, by the way. I'm so stoked about this. We started this show because of you. And in this past year, we've seen explosive growth on our social media platforms. We had 75 million impressions. That's people who are scrolling and saw our face. We had 16 million views, people who actually clicked on our videos. We've had 375,000 shares, people who thought, I gotta get this to my kid or grandkid. Let me share this content. Our courses have had 117,000 people go through them. And that's all cool, but the more important thing is the life's changed. I encountered a young person recently who told me that they watched my I Am course and it stop them from committing suicide. I don't know how to value this kind of stuff. It's invaluable because one soul is worth God the Son to God the Father. So thanks for helping us win that person, that soul. There's our events, there's our media, and there's our missionaries of joy. That's the people who jump on board and say, I don't just want to watch this from the sidelines. I want to support this, make it happen. And I want you, Real Life Catholic, to support me and helping me be a joyful sharer of the faith in everyday life. That's how we do what we're doing. Now, 2025, with the support of our missionaries of joy, we are launching something new, Living Joy Studios. So I want to beg you to become a missionary of joy. Link is below the video. And I want to beg you, make an end of year gift. If you got money burning a hole in your pocket, help us to launch Living Joy Studios. What you can expect from Living Joy Studios is a lot more. We're going to actually have a space, crew, more technology, more people, everything. We're going to be dumping so much more content on you to bless you, help you live a joyful life, and give you stuff to share with your friends. Support Living Joy Studios. Does that kind of cover it, Noel? Excellent. All right. Now, and by the way, if you become a missionary of joy, one of the ways we bless you back, you're entered for a chance to win a pilgrimage. I'm leading a bunch of pilgrimages this year. Link also below the video for that. We're going to see the canonization of Blessed Pierre Giorgio Frassati. We're going to Poland. We're going to Guadalupe. We're going to Israel. You get a chance to win for you and a friend, ground only, to join me and Jimmy Wahlberg in Mexico at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which will blow your mind. Now, to some of the questions that I've gotten, we'll wrap this up with this. And by the way, I do read all the questions. I do read all the comments. I don't always have time to respond, but I do read them. Okay, check this out. This is one. We're watching the Father Ripperger video, which is still growing and becoming more viral. I'm going to have him back soon. The comment was, this is ridiculous. Thank you for your input. Okay, we get lots of those comments. I want to share with you again. I've shared this many times. You're watching because you want me to be right. Really? Like someone says this is ridiculous. My first thought is, that's ridiculous. Why is someone who thinks the whole God thing is ridiculous watching videos on a Catholic channel? Because you want me to be right. Because you kind of hope that there's a God and creator who loves us, that life is not a cosmic accident, and then we are more than worm food when we die. Dude, it would be ridiculous if the universe was playing a trick on you, that you have all those longings for more that amount to nothing. But all the proofs in the world that we could lay out in all the videos we do, it only goes so far. It really does. You see, it's an act of the will that leads you to conclude that this is true. Or this is ridiculous. And why? Because the object of faith, just like atheists don't like to admit this, their end conclusion is beyond your ability to, quote, prove and reason your way to. You can only reason your way to the threshold. It's like marriage. The end goal is not a topic I learn about a person. It's a relationship I enter into. When it comes to your relationship with God, all the proofs will lead you to the threshold and you make a decision. The same is true with the atheist who cannot prove there is no God and who cannot answer definitively why, if there is no God, there's something instead of nothing at all. But they make a choice. And you know what's ridiculous and absurd and contradictory? A life where all this is a cosmic accident. Open yourself up to the possibility that what we're saying is true. Because frankly, not only does it make you happier, and gosh, speaking of gratitude and thanksgiving, when you see all this as a gift, instead of a cosmic accident, it makes it all so much more enjoyable. But it's also less of a leap of faith, frankly. I think it's more of a leap of faith to say this just came from nowhere. Here's another one. I had a video with Father Spitzer about near-death experiences, and someone's comment, All bulletin. After death, the brain is still active for 3 to 7 minutes, then the brain stops and there is nothing after death. Okay, I got another video on near-death experiences coming out very soon. Do not miss that. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. Again, link below the video. Link to that one below the video. This is going to blow your mind. This guy did 1,500 studies, 1,500 conversations with people who had near-death experiences. And inexplicable if it's just brain waves that are still active. The same is true if you watch the whole Father Spitzer video. You're going to see stories that are inexplicable if it's merely brain waves active for 3 to 7 minutes. Stories about people describing in great detail conversations that happened in the room next to them, things that they saw happening outside the hospital, stories of people who were born blind, who have vivid memories of sight for the first time and can describe comparative color analysis and scenes outside the hospital that they could not have seen or describe unless their soul left their body and came back to their body. Also, stay tuned to our channel and make sure you subscribe to our newsletter so you don't miss this when it comes out. I just interviewed John Burke. He's done 1,500 studies, 1,500 conversations with people who had near-death experiences. It'll blow your mind. Totally blow your mind. These things, and he lays out in great detail how it cannot possibly be the result of hallucination, oxygen leaving the brain, or a dream state. That these people describe accurately things they couldn't have known. Procedures that were done on their body when their eyes were taped shut. So they couldn't have been, you know, seeing a little bit of a medical procedure, medical equipment that was used on them that you have to have a higher degree in medicine to understand this equipment. Anyway, stay with it and you'll see. But guys, reducing this to just the activity of brainwaves doesn't match up. All right. And if you want to lean into the hope that this stuff's real, and who wouldn't want to, watch the whole episode with Father Spitzer and make sure you don't miss our episode with John Burke. And the last one I want to comment on is this. Someone saw my video on St. Francis and said, Chris, love is love. This had nothing to do with the St. Francis video, but they're talking about me teaching about sexual ethics in regard to homosexual or same-sex behavior. I believe that your personal judgment of, quote, Pride Month is the antithesis of the meaning of the prayer of St. Francis. I'm not here to debate if homosexuality is a sin or not. And by the way, I want to clarify, same-sex attraction is not a sin. So when someone says homosexuality is a sin, if what they're referring to is an attraction, not only is an attraction itself not a sin, that could become someone's cross that could lead them to greatness. And if they carry it right and follow the will of God, they become great, great saints. So, said, I'm not here to debate if that's a sin or not. I'm not qualified to do so. However, God loves us all regardless of our sins, and this is why he sent his son to die for us. The point of the prayer of St. Francis, okay, they keep going on and on. Listen, there's a lot of people who think that the idea of love is contradictory to the idea of clarity. And that Jesus, because he loved us and accepts us all, would never be clear when it comes to things like sexual ethics. Guys, I'm not sure what Bible you're reading. Jesus was very clear about the ethical demands of following him, of what it means to have him be your Lord in every area of your life, including how you spend your money, how you treat other people, and what you do with your body, and where you guide whatever sexual urge you have and what you do with it. If he's going to be Lord of your life, there's specific boundaries and guidelines that you need to live within in obedience to him. When you fail at those and you mess up, he's still your savior. You got to go back to him. But saying that we don't call sin a sin, and that's what it means to have a savior, that's not what Jesus taught. That's not what St. Francis taught. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because we love people, because, not in spite of or in addition to, because we love them as Jesus did, we have to be clear about the path of truth and ethics, because that's the only path that leads to life. Anyway, I could do a whole episode on any one of those questions, but I thought I'd just honor those questions by answering them here. I love you guys. Thank you for watching. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.